She just got off an airplane straight from her 100 miler that she did in one of the Carolinas. I don't know.
North Carolina.
North Carolina, the Superior Carolina. So where they're probably most famous for the TV show, The Outer Banks. I don't know. Anyways, welcome everybody. We're the Happy Cast. We're almost at 100 episodes. I don't know.
Yeah, we're like the early 90s, somewhere
around there. Early 90s, early to mid 90s. Good time. so yeah, I can't believe it's almost been 100 episodes. And we haven't really run out of stuff to talk about, but we got a special episode because, as always, I'm Andrew. We got Dylan over here, and
what up?
The subject of this episode is going to be Stephanie once again finishing.
Do you know the name of the race?
Her 9th 100 miler in the 9th different state, and
yes,
I don't know
what's the name of the race.
MST
Microsoft.
Oh, Microsoft
100.
Microsoft Trail.
It's y'all know what it stands
mountains
for?
Mountains to Sea.
Mountains to Sea Trail.
Wait, is it MTS or MST?
It's MST.
Mountains
Wouldn't
to Sea.
Wouldn't that be Mountains Sea how to...
They don't put two in there, Mountain to Sea Trail.
No. Oh, wait, what? That doesn't. So it's MTST.
Oh my God,
it should be MTST. Mountain to Sea Trail. So it's Mountain Sea Trail.
No, it's Mountains to Sea.
Yeah, I understand, but they don't put two in there.
They don't put two in the acronym.
They should have done something like
where does that last T come from?
Trail.
Trail.
She says it stands for trail.
Gotcha.
So it's basically, if someone looks at it, they're going to be confused.
Look at the hat, okay? Mountains to Sea Endurance Race.
Okay, so that's it confuses us even more.
Yeah.
That doesn't even say trail. It says endurance race. There's no trail. So that's MSER then.
Yeah, Misser.
No, you don't get to change it. The name of the trail is MST. Like, yeah. It's not just this trail. Like, the race is on the MST. How's that? The race is on the MST. Like, all the course, yeah.
Sensing a pattern here that you're doing a 100-miler in a different state and didn't realize that until you mentioned it. This is your 9th one, right? Correct?
In the ninth state.
Ninth state. Will you ever do, Lake Murray, I guess you tried before. But that's Oklahoma,
technically. I did Tulsa.
Yeah. Okay. So Lake Murray's technically Oklahoma. That's true. All right.
Yeah.
But you already did Tulsa. So you gave
up
on Lake Murray.
Which is Texas.
Yeah. Wow. This is an interesting pattern. I'm excited to see what else you have coming.
Can I just say, it is so much fun because when you travel, you don't get to really meet the people. But if you go share miles on the trail with people, like, you get to know them on a different level. Like, anybody I talked to, it was interesting because when you talk to them about races, they're talking about a different part of the country than we talk about. And then you're hearing about these races. And then, you have people, it wasn't just people from North Carolina running there because there's so many states that are close. Texas is so spread out. I mean, so big that you could be really far and be in the same state. They have people from all different states, you know, that are traveling and. So you get exposed to even more. I love asking for random pacers online.
And I was going to ask, did you make any new friends?
I did. So I posted in the ladies tour group. If you are female, the ladies trail and ultra running group is awesome. They only let ladies in for like safety reasons. And so I always post in there first. Not that I'm against having a male pacer, but I would prefer a male pacer that's being recommended from a female, like safety reasons. Like, anyways, but And I had a few connections and they connected me to some other groups. And I eventually posted, I waited a while. Shashi's like, just post in this other group. And I was like, no, I'm going to wait before I post in a co-ed group. And I ended up posting in a co-ed group and I had a guy that was willing to pace me. So I love posting in the local groups because then I talked to so many people online. Like one lady emailed me lots of information. Another lady who had ran it gave me all this information and was going to crew, but then last minute couldn't. And then I also got connected to one of Andrew's Facebook friends, Marie. So she moved 2 years ago. So this would be a long time ago if you ran with her. She's one of Greg's runners. So
yeah, she, met her at Lake Murray.
Yes,
3 years ago when yes, I did the 100K. That's what,
she did the 100K that year too. So this was her home trail. And so she was like, hey, let me crew you. And I was like, I don't need crew. First of all, this bitch is never going to say I don't need something again. I would not have fucking made it without like the support and the level of support I had, which is just like, first of all, I feel like more of an adult. It's more of an accomplishment that I was able to travel there, get to the race, not know a soul when I was starting the race. It's my first 100-miler. I start where I knew nobody. Like I was just going to just like, I felt like just going out and not talking to anybody. I met two 50-miler ladies who, the 50-miler started with us. So I ran maybe 4 miles with this, one lady who won first place in the 50-miler that was badass. And then, so I didn't know anybody at the start. I was able to finish the race, get myself back to the hotel, which is about 30 minutes away, and then take care of myself. Because I think that's another thing. I almost always have Matt there or somebody there. Like when I'm done, there's somebody that I know that can help me. Like I didn't have a canopy, but you know, like take stuff to your car. Like this was just me. It was like, Stephanie, make sure you get all your drop bags. Get yourself back to the hotel safely. I was a little nervous because I was going to drive 30 minutes. And then once you get to the hotel, I had everything set up where I could take care of myself because I'm not going back out. Like I'm not going to get out, you know, an hour later to go get food. So I made sure I had food. I made sure I had beer because I wanted to, like, otherwise there was nothing, you know, I had gave myself a bath, like, all the like self-care, like nobody's like I, you know, when Matt's here, I'm like, hey, can you go get that from the other room? Like nobody was there. So I feel like that was the biggest accomplishment, just taking care of myself after a race. Cause I'm so dependent on him. And then, once that happened, then the next morning I got myself to the airport, the rental car, got myself to the airport. So that was a bigger accomplishment. Just realizing that I can do 100 like completely solo. I know y'all do it. Y'all travel to races, but like I have not on that level. And so that was a confidence booster.
Did it psych you out that you didn't know anybody? That you were going 100%. In kind of
like literally the day before I was like, I don't know anybody at the start. Like I really don't, like no one's going to send me off. Like I'm just going to run. I just start. And we're on a different time zone. So nobody's awake. And I'm like, that's good. Because then when they wake up, I'll be far into this. Like, when by the time y'all get up, I'm going to be like, been running for a while. So, that was interesting. And meeting, like I said, meeting people, because when you vacation, you're not going to meet locals to the extent that you would when you run with someone and like get to hear about, you know, their running community and, the way it's set up. So can I go into like a little bit about the race itself?
Please do.
Yeah, so we want to know everything from the very beginning. Why this race, first of all? And I had a good question come to me. How the hell do you pick some of these races? Races that no one have ever heard of. Like,
okay, so I
have Regina was wondering. So
okay, I have a list. One, a main thing is like time of year, because I don't want to take too much time off work. So I didn't have to take any time off work because I'm on spring break. So that was one factor. And then the other is like, some range and difficulty. So I'm going to have some road ones. I'm going to have some fat ass ones. I'm going to have some looped ones, a point to point, you know, an out and back, a full loop. Like I want the variety. And then I've toyed with like doing really hard ones and then realizing that I may have to take some DNFs. I changed my mind, but it's basically time of year and then fitting in. Cause you know, some states only have one. So that's going to be the one, whatever time of the year that is. So there's this one and then there's Umstead, and Umstead's in April. So April is a little bit hard to get off work because of state testing. Not that I'm not going to do an April race, but, and Umstead is a Western States qualifier and it's a big race. So, and this is a good talking point. So going into this, I also like the small races because I like the community that you usually find out, but then you never know what level of support the race is going to bring. So this one is two out and backs. So you go west 16 miles, which is a lie. It's 16 and a half. And you turn around and you're back at the start finish at mile 33. And then you go out. I ended up with 103 and I think it's supposed to be 102. I think the reason I ended up with an extra mile is dodging mud. Like when you're scooting to the left, scooting to the right. So I think that's where I got my extra mile. So, I picked this one because the time of the year, it's a small race. So that means there's not as much, data to pull from. And so it was actually really cool. So there's this, lady named Anderson that I met out there. And actually when I went to go pick up packet pickup, she was taking a picture with her mom and they were like, "Hey, are you doing the 100 miler?" And I was like, "Yeah." And we like, greeted each other. And then the next day I was running with her for a while. And then she said that she was the same person from the day before. The day before she had glasses. And then I was running with her miles and didn't even know I'd even talked to her the day before. Because you know, she wears contacts when she runs. So I had no idea. And even looking at her pictures on Facebook, cause now we're friends. I'm like, I don't even know what you look like. I thought you had a different hair color. Like, so that's the interesting thing when you're like out there running, you know, we don't look like the same as real life, I don't think. So she and I were running with another lady and we were talking about how we were trying to figure out what our expected finish time would be, like how to plan this out. So Anderson brought up like, "Oh, you must be Tracy," which is the other lady that was with us. "I looked up your results. She's done Cocodona multiple times. She has done incredible things." The Tracy that we were running with is the only female that had finished Shippy before this year. So it's like, how cool is it that here I am in this North Carolina meeting this lady, that the lady that had done Shippy, that set the tone for, you know, female runners at Shippy. And so so we had said when we looked at Tracy's results, because she had done this race twice before, we didn't know how to compare to her because we have not done Cocodona. We have not done the amount of races she had. So I immediately was like, I can't compare to her. She's out of my league. Well, Anderson had done Umstead and she did it in 22 hours and it's like real trail and it's got like 8,000 feet and that's her only 100 miler. So I had ruled her out as also someone I can't get a prediction on how I'm going to do at this race. So, and I actually was with Anderson a lot in the beginning. She would get ahead and I would catch up at an aid station. We got to like chit chatting and running together. And the whole time I was like, "Stephanie, you should not be running with her. Like she's out of your league. She's way too fast. Like if you're with her at this part of the trail, like you're going out too fast." And I was concerned and I mean, cause you do worry, you don't want to, blow up. So here's the thing. I, had been, it's advertised as 7,000 feet of gain. It has 10,000. It's not that much. I would not say it's a hard trail. This is what I've battled with. Comparatively, it's not a hard trail. I think it's got Tyler State Park, Lake Murray, Rocky, Lugaroo vibes. I have said at Lake Murray, it's not a hard trail. I just can't run fast at Lake Murray. Like every time I go out there, I just can't run fast. That's what I would compare this trail to. I wouldn't say it's really technical. I'd say it's got less roots than Rocky. I mean, it's got more vert than Rocky, but less roots. There's no rocks. Not really. It is like, you know, some switchbacks like Lake Murray around mountains and stuff. So that's where I had set this pace chart because I had people coming in the middle of the night. And that's where I think I fucked up. I never should have set a pace chart because then in the back of my head, I was like, oh, I am like way off mark, which as it should be, I have never seen this trail before. So I kept beating myself up. I'm like, why are you running so slow? This trail is not that hard. Well, comparatively, it's not hard, but it's not like a rails to trails. You know what I mean? Like it is real trail. And I think it was a wake up call that like my perspective, like it's not like Samson. It's not like CRP. So it's not like it was a hard trail. But then Anderson's post was saying, hey, that was a really hard trail. And I'm like, okay, maybe I need to show myself a little grace. I think I went in with too high of expectations. And I think it fucked with my head. And I battled so many mind games out there because it rained all day. And I don't feel like it was the rain that got to me. It was muddy, but it wasn't Lake Murray muddy. Like the mud, when you have pine needles and leaves on top of the mud, it wasn't that bad. And every little patch of mud, you could like bypass it by like stepping to the side. So it wasn't like, and it was never very long. There were a few stretches, but it was nothing compared to like Rocky or Lake Murray mud. So that's where it's like, I just kept telling myself, it's not the mud, it's not the rain, I'm just tired. So on the first out and back, that's 16 and a half miles, it was raining and it started in the 40s, but it wasn't too cold. I just wore a rain jacket and gloves and I was good. But then on the way back, I mean, there was only one creek crossing on the way out. On the way back, it had rained for so long that we had like six or seven creek crossings. And I kept thinking, I'm lost because I never crossed this creek before because it looked like completely different on the way back. Like I'm talking about like roaring. Like I like fell in one and like took a knee like in the middle of the creek crossing because you would step and you didn't know how deep the sand was because we didn't cross the creek before. So that was on the way back. The 16 and a half on the way back was not the same as a 16 and a half on the way out. And then on the other side, when we got to the other side, I thought it was fine. It had one creek crossing. The mud wasn't bad. I felt everyone said the first 30s flat, which I got like 2,700 feet of gain. And so I wouldn't really consider that flat for 33 miles. But relatively speaking, if I was only going to get 7,000, I'm like, okay, so now I've gotten a huge chunk of what I'm supposed to get. But then, the second section was supposed to be harder, but it had less mud. So it was like, you know, it wasn't bad. But then on the way back, the mud was so bad because I was at the front of the pack, I would say. So the 50 milers had gone out and back. They had gone through it twice since I had been through it. And all the 100 milers had been through it at that point. So it was trashed. And it was like how Lake Murray got bad, like on the out and back. It wasn't that level, but it was how the trail changed. It wasn't the same trail that I ran out in. I mean, it was so many hours later. So it was different. And had it rained through the night, I don't know how I would have done because the whole time we're like, it's going to stop raining eventually. Like it's just going to rain all day, but it will stop raining at some point. And so that was what we kept telling ourselves in the back of our head. And then, so the pacer that I had overnight, his name is Kevin. He had ran it. I want to say he's either won it or got second place. I'd have to look at his scores, but he knew the course very well, and he's extremely fast. He has done some really badass things. He's done 57 hours at a backyard. That's 237 miles. I mean, that's really fucking impressive. Who finds a pacer that has like that level of experience? I was kind of surprised with that. He's done like crazy hard 100s. He's doing Cruel Jewel this year. So he's, so he knew the course and he had projected, I said, I think I'm going to go for 26 to 28. And he was like, hey, on Ultra sign up, I looked at your results. That looks about right. You're good to go. And so he had told me like, hey, the next section, if the first section's muddy, the second section won't be bad. And so that's what, I told Anderson, I said, the next side's not going to be muddy. And she's like, well, we don't know that. And I was like, well, this is what we're going to tell ourselves. Like, we're going to tell ourselves it's not going to be bad. So it's like, we kept telling ourselves it was going to quit raining at 4. Cause I felt like I read that somewhere. Originally it was going to rain till midnight. And then it was only sprinkling when we started. And I wanted to be like, hey, it's not raining that bad, but I didn't want to curse it because I thought about Loop the Lake. Dylan, do you remember what you said at Loop the Lake?
I remember exactly what I said.
What was it?
I think I remember.
Like, what was it? Come rain down on us or something.
Yeah, something to that effect, but directed up in the sky towards God.
Yes, and it flooded on us. So yeah. I was like, I'm not going to say this rain is not bad because it can really hit. I want to say it was like 11 a.m. and it was pouring so bad. And I was like, trying not to get discouraged. And I was like, it's going to quit raining. Like, it's not going to rain forever. It will stop raining eventually. You're going to be fine.
I'm curious real quick. What's your strategy for rain running during a race?
So it was in the 50s. So like upper 50s. So I think if it was cold, it may have been different, but I wore gloves and I wore like these, like rubber gloves that are supposed to be waterproof. Mm-hmm. And they were until it started pouring. And then it just like retained all the water in the gloves.
Oh my God.
I wasn't cold. And then I would take them off. And then I'm like, I kind of want them on. Cause it was like, it had, lining that was warm. It was the weirdest thing. So I ran with these like rubber looking gloves, a Houdini jacket, which is not waterproof, but it was just enough of a layer that I felt like I wasn't cold. Like, yeah. It didn't protect me from the rain. I wore a hat. When it was raining really bad, I put the hood up on the jacket. And I mean, like I had all these negative thoughts and all I could think about is I talked so much shit to Andrew about being negative on the trail. And I was like, bitch, pull it together. You are not that person. Like, you cannot be that person.
Not going to lie. And when I saw the text that you sent us, I was with Regina and I'm like, see, this is exactly what I wanted. I didn't want it to happen to you, but this is just proving.
Let's talk about it. Okay. So I had to change my attitude about it. I think, so here's the other thing. I was at an aid station and this lady's like, you look fabulous. And I was like, oh, I do. I did not feel fabulous, but I think it's your attitude. If you come into the aid station and you're like, I am so happy to see your face. It doesn't matter how you are running. They're like, you're in good spirits. You look good. I had multiple people say, hey, you look good. People are coming in rough. You're in good. You're looking good. Which is saying I was giving off good energy because I was like joking around with people. The aid stations were amazing. I never have to fight the negativity. That's okay. We'll talk about all the karma that was given me. I won't talk shit about negative people being negative on the race because then I had all these negative thoughts and I had to fight it. Like when it was raining so bad, I was like, okay, it's 11. It's going to rain till 4. It won't rain like this. It won't rain like this forever. And then I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And then it was Steve Griffin in the back of my head saying, what do you need to do to get to the next thing? I was like, okay, I'm going to just get to the next mile. I'm just going to get to the next mile. Like there were so many times where it's like, I can't do, no, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Instead of I can't, like, how do I get there? I had to talk to myself all day, like fighting the negativity.
Did you call anybody?
I talked to Brandy for a little bit. I was in good spirits. I called my dad crying. When my watch hit 100 miles and I knew I had over 3 miles left, I called my dad crying. He's in church. He had to walk out. And he's like, he's praying over me. And he's like, you know, he's hard of hearing. So I told him a whole bunch of times I'm already at 100. He's like, so you're done? No, I have 3 more. So when he's praying for me, he's like, and she's at mile 97. And I want to be like, no, I'm at 100 miles. Like, God, I am at 100 miles. I have 3 more, but I'm at 100 already. Which it doesn't matter. Like, most trail runs are not exactly 100. Like, yeah. When you go look through races, like, Sylamo is 105. And it's like a hard course. So, I mean, I knew it was going to be 102. So, and the course, I think the cutoff is 32. And if you look at, the female records, like most of them are over 30 hours. The course record for the female is 28:24. So I went in aggressive saying, hey, I think I can beat it. Like, you know what? I gave it a good college go. Okay. So I battled all this internal stuff. And so I've reflected on what I need to do. One, I think no pace charts anymore. Like that shit was that fucked with me when I didn't know the trail. I think I need a strength train. Shashi and that is going to help me get on a plan. And then let's talk about what worked. I battled the positive. I battled the negative stuffs and I did change my attitude about it. So I was with Kevin for a bit. He did like 55 to 79. The numbers are all off. The numbers, the mile markers were all off. And when I was struggling, when we got to the second turnaround, which is at 68.6, because I was just like, I just need to get there. So the other thing that was hard is they have 9 mile sections without aid. I've done 13 mile sections but without aid, and I've done 9 before, but I've never done it in the second half of the race. And it fucked with me that 9 miles. Okay. One, I let it fuck with me because I was so intimidated by it. One, two, because I didn't need anything from the aid station. It was just knowing that I wouldn't see, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how y'all do the ones at Coco Donut with like 30 miles or like, I cannot even wrap my head around it because I was struggling with 9 at the end and I had 4 sections in the second half with 9 miles. So, and it's not that I needed them, you know what I mean? It was just the mental thing. And so, you have 8.6 miles headed out to that turnaround. And I just kept thinking it was going to be less mileage. I just knew it was going to be less mileage. I just knew it was. And it wasn't, okay. It was not less mileage. It was over 8.6. But so I'm low. I am really struggling. Kevin is an extremely fast hiker. He power walker. And I was like, dude, you don't even have to pretend to run. You can power hike at my running pace. Like I was running or shuffling or whatever word you want to call it to his hiking. But he stayed behind me. And I think that was good because had he been in front of me, there's no way he could have gauged how fucked up I was feeling. Like he would have pushed me too hard. So he stayed behind me, was really good conversation. We got to talk about lots of good stuff. And I'm like, we're never going to find this aid station. I thought it was going to be earlier and we still don't see it. And I hear screaming. Now they have the tracker and the tracker was live. So when you got close to the aid station, it would connect and it would update. And I swear they were saying, come on, Dallas. I don't know. I swear they were saying Dallas. I told him I heard it. And then I heard it again and again. I never fact checked to see if they were actually calling for Dallas. But I was like, they know it's me coming. Because at other aid stations, you would come in and they'd be like, is it Stephanie? And I'm like, yeah. And it's like, so I felt, I took it as everybody's tracking me. Everybody knows I'm out there because I've posted in all the local groups. I've communicated with all the aid station leads. I don't, you know, but it was probably the tracking, whatever it was. Like, I felt like everybody was rooting for me.
There's probably some two people, one on their phone, calling out bib numbers and names, and the other person's just yelling out into the crowd.
And I loved it. I was like, they know me. Like, they know I'm coming in. They know I'm struggling. So when they saw my headlamps and were screaming, come on, Dallas, like, I still had like half a mile to go. Okay. Hmm. And half a mile at my pace is like 10 minutes. And they screamed the entire time. Like, you know how you cowbell too early and then you're like, oh shit, like they're not going to make it. Like they cowbelled, like, you know what I mean? Like they yelled and they kept yelling. They did not, like, they kept the energy. And I was like, fuck, we got to run. And then when we're running, I was like, we're switchbacking. We're not even going towards the voices. We can't even see their lights for the aid station. And, but they, we could hear their voices because they put someone at the end of the trail. Like it was across the street. They put someone at the end of the trail screaming in. It's like what we did at Rockledge when we ran the aid station.
Yeah,
where someone stood in there. Okay. So, I mean, they screamed until I like went down the ditch, crossed the street and got to the aid station. They were screaming. I mean, the best energy. It's the volunteers were from Healing Transitions and it's a recovery center. And so they had all these men out there like volunteering. And I was like, oh my God, I need a hug. I'm so happy to see everybody. And everybody gave me a hug. And then we got a picture. And it was just like, they're like, what do you need? I was like, I don't even care. I don't want anything, but whatever you give me, I'm going to eat. And so I had also not been at my drop bag in like, I could do 68, 80, no, 46, 68, 90. So it was like 22 miles between drop bags. So it's like, if you needed at that point, it's midnight or one or whatever. And it's like, if I need cold gear, I need to get it now. Cause I'm not going to see cold. Like I'm not going to see, or if I need batteries and all that stuff. So I went through my checklist with Kevin like three or four times. And he's probably like, why is this bitch still telling me the same checklist? Right. But I went through it all. Okay. Well, in my excitement to get the picture, and I unloaded my drop bag and then loaded back up my pack, I did not take my spare batteries. Okay. But I didn't know I did that. So here's my karma, because I'm always like, headlamps are a rookie mistake. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I told Kevin three or four times that I took my spare batteries. Okay. I don't know this though. So we go out there, we're doing our thing. Remember, I'm not going to see my drop bag for 22 more miles. Like, I'm not going to see my drop bags till right before sunrise. Like, so if I don't have spare batteries, but I have a waist lamp and a headlamp. And Matt has always said, just use one. And I'm like, no, I'm suffering. I'm using both of them. I want all the light. So, but I did have my headlamp on a lower wattage because between, I had like 45 minutes of sunrise and then I used it for like 3.5 hours. And I'm like, oh my God, I hate changing that battery. Just use it on a lower setting. Okay. So he had to park a little bit further up from the aid station because he couldn't get into the park. And so I dropped him back before I got to the next aid state, the mile 79 aid station. After I dropped him off, I was feeling sorry for myself. So I immediately turned that headlamp all the way to the highest setting. I was like, this bitch needs a seat. Okay. Within minutes, it fucking dies. And Matt and I were talking today about how, like, if you keep it on a low setting, it'll last 12 hours. But when you light that bitch up, it doesn't last as long. But I was like, I mean, literally, I was just like, I need light. I want light. I've got batteries. Okay. So I am like, you know, calorie deficit, like been grinding for a while, like all in my fucking head. He is going to go do a 10-mile run in the morning. Like he leaves me at like 4 or 5 a.m. He's going to go take a nap and do like a 10-mile, you know, run because he's on that level. He's like, I just hiked with you. Okay. So, but like I'm all in my feels like. So I stop in the middle of the trail. I can't find the battery. So I pull everything out of my pack. I've got my waist lamp. It's dying. It's real faded and light. And then I'm like, oh, it's the last thing in my pack. And I see something white and I pull it out. Okay. And then I put everything back in the pack and I decided to take a snack. So I kept my snack out. Well, then I have everything packed but my snack. And I was like, bitch, you forgot to grab the batteries. You packed them again. So I'm going back through my pack and I can't find the batteries. So now I'm like, I pulled them out. So now I'm searching the trail for batteries. Remember, they're in the fucking drop bag. I don't know this. I think I've lost my batteries. And these are like the pretzel Swift batteries that are like $60 batteries. And I have two of them and I have an Ultraspire battery. Like I have no fucking light. Okay. I have a waist lamp that's almost dead and I have no headlamp. And even if I make it to the next aid station, I have 9 miles after that till I get to my drop bag. So even if I make it to that aid station with no light, I have 9 miles. Like I'm fucked. Like there's nothing I can do. So, I'm just like, okay, this is not the moment. Put your bag back together. And it's hard to troubleshoot when you're already brain foggy. So I make it back. I call Marie. I'm crying. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? She's like, I've got a spare battery because she happens to have the same waist lamp that I do and has a spare Aspire battery. And I'm like, what are the odds? I was like, I'll take it. And then I'm like, but I want my headlamp because I can't see. It's so dark out here. And so I get in, I'm whining about my headlamp. The aid station volunteer has the same Pretzel Swift headlamp. He gives me his fresh battery and takes my used one because you don't want to give a $60 battery away. So he traded me. First of all, I couldn't even fathom think of that idea. And he troubleshot for me. He had the battery for my headlamp. So I got my headlamp. I used her spare battery on my waist lamp. Like that is a gift. That is a blessing. That's like the chapstick that appeared in the trail for Matt. Like what are the odds that the aid station, his name is Dan. Shout out to Dan. Cause he thought of that. And then there was another aid station, Laura, when I was going into the night, it was mile 46 ish. And I wanted to change clothes, but it was like daylight and everything was wide open on a highway. And she let me change in her car, which is like so nice because I was nasty. And she let me change in her car. And I will not forget that. And she's also emailed me lots of information before the race and told me what to expect and where I might get lost and all that. So here's another thing. There's no course markings. I fucking loved it. It reminded me of Arkansas. You follow the fucking markers on the trail. Like everything's marked on the trail. If you ever exit the trail, then there's an arrow. So there was lots of highway crossings. There was lots of like shuffle on the highway for like a quarter of a mile. I think the max was like 0.4 of a mile you ran on the highway. Busy fucking highway, scary as shit. So you don't run on the side, you run on the grass because you're going to get hit. You have to be very careful crossing the street. That was scary too. And we had to cross it multiple times. So if you exited the trail, it would say go right. And there was signage because I want to say Kevin said this trail is like 1100 miles long. It's a huge trail. So through hikers would see the signage, but are you looking it up, Dylan?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Cause it's a long trail. So through hikers would follow the signs, but the race did provide markers for that. But on the trail, they put dots on the tree. So if you ever thought you were lost, you would just look forward and see a dot or look behind you and you could see the dot that you came from. So they weren't reflective, but there was dots on the trees. You couldn't mistake it for moss or something. There was one tree that me and Anderson were like, oh, are we supposed to be over there? And we're like, no, that's a plant. That's not paint. So I loved the like grassroots of like they didn't tear up the trail. Not that you tear up the trail marking the course, but that it was cool. Like I had more confidence marker than what a normal race would have without it being for the race. Like there was a couple of pink flags out there and we're like, nope, that's not our race because our race doesn't have course markers. That's left over from something else. You know what I mean? Like you don't follow any signage besides the rawness of the trail. Tell us about the MST.
Well, I was going to ask, so were you navigating purely by like the, were there like authentic trail blazes, like markings on the tree?
They called them white blazes. Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of similar to the Appalachian Trail and the other big ones.
I mean, but it was, you always knew where you were.
Yeah.
And so, if there was a spot to turn, you would look for the white dot. Like it would be close enough. The white dot was always close enough that you could see where to go. So that wouldn't be marked.
Yeah.
It was just crossing the highway and stuff like that.
Yeah, so basically the trail itself, the Mountains to Sea Trail, it's a cool logo. It looks like you guys were on a little section of it, but right. Ultimately it's 1,175 miles, originates
near, and it's going to go through multiple states.
This is showing that it's all contained within North Carolina, but it starts up in Gatlinburg near the border with Tennessee, up in the Smoky Mountains, and then kind of follows the Smoky Mountains through Asheville up to Greensboro. So it kind of does, it kind of loops up with the Smokies, then kind of arches back down towards Raleigh, and then essentially heads straight for the coast. But what's interesting is I'm on their website and it looks like they even have a paddle paddle route of the trail where you can get off the actual trail and follow little canals or rivers or something. But I had never heard of this before. It looks like a pretty large and long trail.
But is that not badass? So the other North Carolina trail would have been like 12 and a half mile loops. So I'm glad at the choice I picked, like I got to experience like the trail that they all run on. And so a lot of the runners that were local, they were like, hey, I've ran on this portion. This is my home trail, but they don't go the other direction. So it's like I got exposure to 51 unique miles. So,
yeah, I mean, that's pretty epic. Would you say like a lot of the section that you ran on, it looked at least from when I was tracking you that it was a lot of kind of like Finger Lakes, almost like Lake Texoma, or I guess really any of those like Grapevine Lakes, kind of like that, where they have like they call them Finger Lakes, where you have like the little switchbacks going through. Is that pretty much the whole course?
Yes.
Okay.
And lots of, and there were spots where it was like when it was raining, where like you're just running through a creek, but it was not as bad as like, so that's the thing is, to me, I was like, this trail's not that hard. It's not as bad as Lake Murray. It's, you know, like I'm comparing it to all these other things, but I need to show myself grace. And like, it was hard. Like it did rain, like 100 milers are hard. And so that was the other thing. So when Marie picked me up, she taught me something I've never seen done before. And so she is a really fast hiker. But I was still, you know, slogging or whatever we want to call what I was doing through this mud. I'm still like shuffling. And, you know, she can't really run as slow as I'm shuffling. So she would hike, and then like every 10 steps, she would do like two running steps, like a little skip. So like walk 10 steps, run two steps, like to keep me moving quicker than like a walking pace. It was very fascinating to watch. I'm going to have to practice it. When I practice it, I'm going to have to alternate which leg you start on. Cause then if you have a dominant leg that you're always pushing off on, like run walkers, you need to practice like switching what leg you start with, because it's gonna it's how you get injured. But she has it down, so she never pushed me too hard. I mean, I was falling apart, you know, through the night, and I just kept saying like, I'm not strong enough for this, I can't do this, I'm not strong enough. And then the sun came up and I was like, and then I was like, you need to change your attitude. The sun came up and I literally felt energized. And I was like, I'm stronger than this. And then I started moving. And like, as soon as the sun come up and she could tell my attitude change, she started running. Then she started pushing me. And I was like, who is this that, you know, she'll be patient with me for, you know, how many ever miles till the sun come up? I have no clue what mileage we were at. And then when the sun came up, literally, she knew I was good and she pushed me. And she would tell me, this was something, it was cute. This never bothered me. She'd be like, just one more hill and then we're done. Just, this is the last hill. And I knew, like, this is not the last hill. Or she'd be like,
you're looking hey, so strong, Stephanie. Yeah,
but I took it, like, whatever they say, like, you're doing so good. Like, when, and then I was like, I think I just need to listen to music. I can't get out of my head. And she'd be like, that's okay, listen to music. Or she would talk when I needed talking. She would tell, the main thing was she would show me how to step. So some of those creek crossings were better later in the night. And so she would show me what steps to take to not get my feet wet. So I changed my socks at mile 33. Socks and shoes. So here was the other thing. I was like, I didn't want to overpack socks and shoes, but I remember at Rocky, I was telling y'all how y'all didn't bring enough socks and shoes. So I was like, this bitch is going to have a sock change at every drop bag. And I brought three pairs of shoes. I've never packed three pairs of shoes for a race I had to fly to. Matt's like, wear one on the airplane, pack the other two, just do it. So I changed at 33, trying to just, you know, change my headspace. And then about 6 miles later, I have a really bad creek crossing that, like, it was real bad, like thigh high, because the guy in front of me was like, go straight across. And so I did. But what he meant was like not straight, like at a diagonal, because I saw someone coming the other way and I saw how it was done. And then I was scared because I knew I was going to hit that creek crossing at mile 95. And I did not know how I was going to, like, I was scared because it was roaring so bad. Like, you know, and if you step wrong, you're stepping down into the sand. And so, I kept my, so then I changed my shoes again at my next drop bag that I could, which was 68, the turnaround with all the good energy volunteers. And then I kept my feet dry from mile 68 until that last creek crossing with Marie. So till like 95. And then I got my feet wet and it was mud. The last 6 miles were just all mud besides the mile downhill on the road. So that was another thing. You have to, it's like running out of the park a mile. You go to the ranger station, take a right, and then you run back to the start finish. So you go down that mile road. And then when you go out for the next loop, you go up the mile to the left. So it has like, I want to say 100 feet of gain just in that mile, road. So I'm going to run down it. Like, you don't have a mile decline. Is that how you would say it?
Yeah.
100 feet decline and not like use it. And so, and that was the other thing. Marie let me run it. And then I was like, I think I need a little walking break. She's like, this is your race. You're doing amazing. So I walked a little bit. I was like, and we were doing like sub 12 minute. And then we walked a little bit. So we got it over 12 minutes. But, like, it wasn't that I couldn't run. It was that I was so defeated. And I just had a lot of lows, amazing race. Everything worked out. Both my pacers were amazing. I had told Marie I did not need a pacer for the last 21. And she's like, I'm coming out with you. She told Greg, who is her coach, and he put it in her plan that she's going to pace me. Like, what if I had not, you know what I mean? What if I made a bigger deal about saying I didn't need a pacer? Like, and I'm sitting here, you know, giving Matt a hard time for saying he didn't need a pacer. I feel like every time I challenge someone's decision, the world or the source comes back and reminds me that I don't know someone's story. Like, so, you know, karma about the headlamps, about the pacing, you know, about the negative attitude. It's like, I worked through a lot of stuff. So I don't want to say the trail is hard. It's not easy. The rain and the mud made it not easy, but it wasn't hard per se, like other courses that I've seen. You know what I mean? Like, but I also think I need to do strength training if I'm going to up my level. I did sign up for Solomo today, and that alone is my commitment that I'm going to go do some stairs with Shashi, just like go climb the stairs at CRP. Like, I'm going to have to do something to do, like, because I finished 29:30. And, you know, some of these hard races have a 30-hour cutoff. Like, they aren't generous. So, yeah. I mean, that's hard, you know. So, but there were ladies that were finishing after me when I was, like, driving out of the park because they're running down that mile hill. And I just had the best. I rolled down my window and I screamed for them, you know, because you feel so connected to everybody out there.
Yeah.
And they basically do it as a fundraiser. it's not like a trail racing company, I would say, because they donate everything back. And when I say donate, they gave away $300,000 this year.
Wow.
And it can't be just from this race because it's not big enough. So it is, they give it all back to the trail. They give it back to like Healing Transitions. And but because of that, they have the best swag because everything gets donated. So it's like we got Path Projects hats as our gear. The buckle, it's a fucking epic buckle.
Yeah,
like
that buckle's pretty sweet.
I don't think I spent very much money on this race. I would say maybe 200, and it should go straight to that buckle. Like the buckle alone, and the buckle came in a box, like a jewelry box, with like a custom designed jewelry box. So it's like, and it was definitely such a great experience, and meeting all the North Carolina community. Shashi knew some people, so he said that like he knew that trail running community is amazing. Anderson, I told her, I said, you tell me what 100 miler you do next year, I'm gonna fly out and come pace you. And she's like, what are you doing in the fall? I'll come pace you. Where are you racing? And then some of the other ladies that had messaged me about the race before, they're like, come back to North Carolina. And it's just so fun to meet people and just spread the good cheer. And then I was telling everybody about the podcast. That's my go-to when I'm struggling. I'm going to be like, thank you so much. I'm going to shout you out on the podcast. Like, I'm going to make sure everybody knows you. What's your name? You gave me your headlamp. So, it was an amazing race. Lots of fun.
How would you rank it? Is it top 10 or does that not get into
the race experience?
Yeah.
Okay, I've only done 9.
So easily top 10, but let's narrow that down. Top 5?
I would say top 3. So I'm going to say top 3 because I love my Born to Run. I love Flagstaff to Grand Canyon. So I'm going to put this up there. I mean, it was rough. Like it was rough emotionally, but I still, it was like everything just lined up. And like my rental car was the same car I have. Like they gave me a rental car. That's what I drive. So that was like peace of mind. Cause I was nervous. I'm going to sit here and drive a rental car that I haven't, driven before after 100 miler. Like I was worried about that. So yeah. Amazing experience.
Wow. Well, congrats on getting under 30 hours.
Oh my God. I was shooting for 26 to 28.
Well, life humbled you.
Yes. And I battled back. Like I know that I'm like, I've done so much reflection and I'm like, how are you so negative? You can't control the negative thoughts. You can control how you reacted to it. So instead of beating myself up that I had so many lows, I need to appreciate the fact that I was capable to switch my mindset. And that's good training for the next hard thing I do of like, when I'm in despair, how do I switch my mindset? But I just love Marie for like knowing when I was falling apart and not pushing too hard, but then pushing when she knew I was ready. Like I told her, I was like, you need to be a paid professional for like what she did. And she's like, I've never got to pace on my home trail, And we know a lot of the same people because she used to live here. So, and she's done a lot of the races that are local. So lots of fun.
That's awesome. Would you do it again?
I don't want to repeat hundreds. Okay. I don't know. I don't know though. I kind of like experiencing all the different ones. So even after I do the 50 states, I think I may still keep switching it up. I don't know. I love this is what I tell people. I love being in everyone's business. I love knowing about all the races, whether it's crewing, pacing, like I like just seeing it all. And then there's so much we don't know out there. I think that's it. It's like every time I feel like I've heard of all these races and then they mention one and I'm like, wait, I need to write that down. I'm going to have to go check that out when I get off the trail, So there's so much we have not seen out there.
And so much we never will And you'll just have to be okay with that.
At race packet pickup, someone said, can our pacer mule our pack? And I was like, what the fuck? Who asks that? Like, the word mule, I thought, like, has a negative connotation. And then when I was talking to people at Umstead, they let your pacer carry your pack.
Wow.
So their other local race. So then I'm like, oh my God, like, have you ever heard of a race that lets someone mule your pack?
No.
But Umstead is meant for a first time 100-miler. Like, it's meant to, like, get people to run their, it's supposed to be a good first. Anyways, so it's just fun facts like that. Like, you know, I feel like I'm always learning. And Marie, the little step thing that I'm going to figure out how to do. So lots that's of all. Lows though.
Well, it sounds like that's the biggest takeaway from it all is mentally, what do you do when you're in the shit? And right. Someone tells you you're looking strong and you don't want to hear it.
I believed it. I was like, ooh, someone said I looked fabulous. It does not get better than that.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, in the thick of it. And I was so, like, had been wet and cold, like, so long. I was, like, pale. I lost all my color. And I was like, oh, my God, I probably look like death. And then the next day, the sun came out. And I got sunburned. I'm like, what the fuck? So that was the thing. When I was running with the 50 miler ladies, I was like, I can't wait for the sun to come up. And they're like, oh, the sun's not coming up today because it was raining all day. So then when I saw them, one of them about to finish, she was like, hey, don't forget the sun's coming up tomorrow. And it was true. Like the next day the sun came out. And it's like, the sun is still going to come up. Like, you'll get your sunrise tomorrow. And it was so beautiful out there. Like, the trails have Tyler State Park vibes. Those tall trees, beautiful. Yeah. Like, oh. I mean, Marie says it has more vert than Tyler State Park. It didn't feel like more vert than Tyler State Park.
What is the elevation for the 108K at Tyler?
She says that she got 900 feet for the 11 miler. I never fact checked that.
Tyler so State Park has about 4,000 for the 54K. So it would be about 8,000 for the 100K. Okay.
Yeah, that's a little more.
It would have a lot more vert than this race if it was a 100 miler.
It felt like Tyler has more vert. Yeah. Like, this felt definitely easier than Tyler.
Yeah, so they have it listed at 7,700 for the whole 100 miler for the race, for this race.
But it's not. And I asked, when I realized how bad it was, because Anderson was saying the same thing. She was like, hey, if we're already at 2,000 feet of gain, she's like, we're only getting 5 on the other side. And I'm like, I don't think so, because I heard this is the flat and fast side. Like, we're fucked. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then I finally asked Kevin, I was like, so how much vert did you get on yours? He's like, over 9,000. I was like, okay. And it's just like, I was thinking, okay, so the GPX file, because I downloaded it on Gaia, because, you know, I'm not going to get lost, there's no spot to get lost, had it as 5,000 feet of gain. So I was optimistic.
Wow.
I was like, so it's 5,000 to 7,000 feet. And the whole time, Marie was like, it's not. There's vert out there. She goes, I've never gotten less than 1,000 when I do 10 miles out there. And then I was like, oh, you just ran the hard side. You're not thinking about them. And so she was this, like, knowledge of info. And so was Kevin. So it's like, I had two pacers. I'm always going to do local pacers. It was just so epic. Just, you know, because they knew the trail and getting to do so much of the trail. She was like, I've never ran this portion. But then she's like, we're about to get on my grounds. She's like, we're about to get on the trail that I always run. And she was like, I know exactly what's going to. And she showed me, like, trees where the Native Americans had bent them so that they were showed direction and stuff. Anyways, it was so cool. So, yeah.
That's cool. Well, again, congrats on the 30 hours. Thanks. That's quite a feat in your 100-mile journey.
And it's a wake-up call that if I'm doing another hard one that has a 30-hour cutoff, I'm going to have to put in some work.
Yeah, maybe do a little yoga here and there.
I'm going to do strength training.
Well, yoga is.
Here's the positive thing. Like yesterday, my body, my legs didn't even hurt where I could like rub some relief out. Like I was like, wait, we're not going to hurt. I woke up this morning in pain. So that was just temporary. Maybe I took too much Advil. Like that was a joke. I am in pain today. But it's still like, I don't feel injured. My quads never hurt. My glutes hurt a little bit. Like I never had, my feet hurt, but it will, you know, my body didn't hurt too bad. So that's where it's like, and Matt's like, your body's just learning to recover. And so I may have signed up for a race. I have two more. I'm trying to figure out what something went wrong with my ultra sign up gift card, but I'm going to get that figured out. Okay. So I don't have a trail picked out for
what
trivia,
was that, Andrew?
So we're skipping that.
What was that, Andrew? Did you have like a race trivia or something that you were going to highlight a race?
I have a fucking race trivia. Man, I'm like that kid that wasn't paying attention in class. Just got picked
Andrew,
on.
Or what, Marvin? Marvin?
Yeah, Marvin. Everyone just called me Marvin in school. Well, we could have just like completely ignored the trail trivia and not even mention it whatsoever like last week, but you know. Now,
well, no, I want to mention that we're skipping it so we know that it's still going to happen every week.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, so, I thought our trail trivia this week was for the race we mentioned last week.
Oh.
What the fuck did we mention last week? And I didn't pay attention last week either.
You're the one who said Mammoth? It last week.
Mammoth? Races?
Yeah, no, that wasn't trail trivia. That was me. I mentioned it last week. Wait, what are we doing here? What are we doing here?
That was a shitty transition into our trail. I don't even know. We call it trail trivia, but it's trivia of races we don't even know.
Yeah, but last week
we
already talked about a race, a local race. It wouldn't be, it would be out of order that I had to listen to this one first and then last week's episode. But no, to your point, we're trying to get like some momentum going for that race I mentioned last week, the High Hope Endurance run by Mammoth. And we expect to start with the RD, speak with the RD on one of these episodes here soon, since the race is at the end of the month. It's a huge local race. A lot of people are signing up for it. It's down in Glen Rose at the end of May. They have, like I said, a 200K.
End
with
of
about,
May or end of March? Because you said end of
end
this
of
month.
May. It's like Memorial Day May. Weekend.
End of May. If I fuck that up, I apologize. You know, it's the largest race yet around here in North Texas. The 200K has 10,000 feet of vert, and the 100K has 5,000 feet of vert. And they have a 50K, nice. 25K, 10K, and 5K. And they have 100K on both Saturday and Sunday. And then 48-hour cutoff for all distances. So it's a Memorial weekend party. So I'm definitely going to show up for something. So we're going to talk more about it though. We were originally going to talk about it this week, but could not. So yeah, not really trivia. Just fun facts.
Maybe these are just. Run. These will just become race spotlights.
Yeah, and like honestly, you know, good area, Glen Rose. We're still finding dinosaur shit there. like the most active dinosaur spot in the country, or I don't know, something like that. So, yeah. Some made up shit. No, it's real. It's real, but I just don't know. It could. I don't know. Like, is the moon real? Apparently, there's a movement saying that the moon's not real. So.
So what's blocking out the sun on April 8th? Then?
CGI. I don't know. Oh, man.
Wow.
Computers. I did want to mention really fast. Last week we didn't do one, so I think I'll just do one really fast here. For the nominations, end of year nominations we had last at the end of last year, beginning of this year. I think we mentioned three of them last time. I'm going to mention one. This was, if you don't aren't familiar, the Spirit of the Happy Endings thing we did, where each person nominated someone for best, like, pacer, best crew, you know, all that sort of stuff. And we've been reading them off. We didn't last week. I'm going to read one off this week. Sent in by Karen Ellis from Houston. And I'm mainly doing this one because there was a lot of people that mentioned this person outside of the nominations. She nominated Isaac Fox, who's also from Houston. And this was the nomination was for best, like, cheer squad member. And apparently a very popular person. A lot of people were talking about him down in Houston. Karen says, every year Isaac dons a gorilla suit at Rocky 50 and at other events such as the Houston Marathon. He is also the aid station captain for the finish line at Rocky. And once people start coming in from their loops, he welcomes them in the gorilla suit. It's the best thing ever to cross the finish line with a gorilla or and getting and receiving a big gorilla hug from him. And there's a bunch of photos included, at least on the posts that were separate on Facebook. So yeah, cool. Isaac's a great person. I know him personally. But yeah, he had a lot of support and, you know, people nominating him. So he was nominated for best cheer squad member. So congratulations, Isaac, on your nomination. Thank you, Karen. That we should throw one in at the end of this episode, because just like I was not prepared apparently for a trivia question, I'm sure you guys were not prepared for a nomination. No, so
I just threw it out there, but yeah, I will call your nomination, get tucked, and I won't raise you one, but I'll just call your nomination with another one.
Oh, okay. Well, all right,
Stephanie. I'm not. I can't pull up the link.
You barely have a brain. You need to go rest.
That's Stephanie. Okay. It's yeah, okay. You get a pass.
All right, go ahead, Dylan.
So my nomination is someone who the three of us know very well, and he holds a special place in my heart, apparently a special place in the nominee's heart. And it is Roberto Gonzalez, nominated by Catherine Stewart. And I love the paragraph just because it kind of encompasses him. But anyways, her response was, I implore any of you motherfuckers to come up with a more positive, more enthusiastic, more helpful, more genuine, more encouraging person than Roberto. How many runners' canopies and tents has he broken down after a race? Did you finish late and came in to find all your shit packed up and ready to go? Berto did that, and he did it with love in his heart. How many times has he paced someone at their worst after his own race and brought them through? He's done that shit for me more than once. Not only is he a great friend, he's a caring and supportive man that will jump at the chance to help any fellow runner without an iota of hesitation. If that doesn't embody Happy Endings Trail Crew, I don't know what the fuck does. Love y'all.
Wow, very aggressive.
That's a pretty badass nomination right there.
Yeah,
an amazing really nomination is. And very aggressive language for someone that constantly has her toes exposed while running in those sandals. Watch out.
To be fair, I took a little liberty to expand, but that there were censored in the actual nomination.
Yeah, no, Roberto, for those of you local, another local nomination. We had a fair share of both local and further out, but one of the most positive influences out there on the trail, whether he's not doing so hot during his race, he'll still find time to lift you up during yours. And the one thing is just, you know, I've never seen someone blister so easily. it's like, I'll say, so that makes the positivity even more amazing. It's just that dude, sometimes just blister 1 mile in and just go to shambles, but he'll still go out of his way to lift you up. He's one of my favorite people out there on the trail. So very deserving of that.
Same.
Okay. Here. Remember how he guided Jeff and had him take liquid IV with no water? Jeff called me in the middle of the race and left a voicemail and was like, hey, don't forget, if you get cramp up, you can just drink liquid IV like candy.
Just eat it.
He's trying to give me advice in the middle of it. I was like, that is the best voicemail to check when I was done with the race.
We need to figure that out. Is it okay just to eat the powder? At that point, it's a
food,
right?
I don't think it's okay.
I think it's
okay. I don't think it's
Roberto's
healthy.
Also like, but, hey, mustard packets. Carry mustard
dude,
packets.
We're 70% water. We're just mixing it in our belly. You know what I'm saying?
So, it's gotta be bad if you do on the regular, like.
Obviously, because instant. It's not diluted. It's an instant shot of, like, especially the potassium, you know.
And how much of it does your body actually process?
Well, and on top of that, how acidic is that going to be sitting in your stomach?
Oh, yeah, you probably vomit after a while. Yeah. Go into a heart arrhythmia. I don't know. But, yeah.
Well, it worked for also, Jeff, I guess.
I have
no blisters. I didn't get any blisters from that.
Does that mean?
And I had shit in my shoes the entire time, because when you did the creek crossings, like, you got like rocks and everything. It's the stuff I use on my feet and using the right socks and the right shoes. I'm just going to throw that out there.
What do you use again?
I use this like brand that you can get at Walmart, but the ointment that I get off of Amazon, it's like Eucerin. It's the red top. And what I use, I take care of my feet between races so that I don't have bad calluses, and that's how you prevent the blisters. Like, take care of your feet, like, all the time. It works wonders.
All right, so we're going to edit that out, because she definitely lied to you guys. She uses Wild Sense products, because we are still not sponsored by them, but we're still going to plug them every time we can, every chance we can.
Or you can use a product to take care of your feet outside
of race
days.
Something. Yes, just something.
And
anything is better than nothing.
So yes. I go with Injinji. Some people use Exoskin. I didn't get any. I didn't get any abnormal chafing. I always get a
is
little
there
bit
normal chafing.
The, like some that you all like.
Well, there
would
be no shaving with
it.
Wild Sense. So, and I'm sure they're going to make socks soon. So,
but I didn't get any bra, and I was wet the entire time.
You didn't get
time.
Any bra.
Any bra line.
Yeah, I don't think
shaving.
Wild Sense will touch that. Don't worry. That's you can have that one with your weird products.
No, I didn't put anything. I didn't wear anything.
Nice.
I just hoped for the best. Like, and Kevin, we met beforehand, and he was like asking me about all this stuff. And I was like, I don't do anything for my feet. I don't get blisters. And then I was like, I'm not going to have chafing. And then I'm like, oh my God, like I'm talking too much shit. Like stuff's going to hit the fan. And I kept thinking going into this race, too much stuff is going right. Something's going to go wrong. So it was just my attitude. That was what, you know, I had to deal with. Okay,
right.
So is that it? Have we covered all the little things we were going to add on?
We did. Yeah. Is there anything we can't let go this weekend? Can't let it go.
Will it or will it not rain at Grasslands?
I was going to fuck you, Dylan. But yeah, no, you're going to have that one. I'll think of something else.
Wait, no, Andrew, that can be yours.
We can share
Dylan
it.
Needs to mention.
No, we can, we
Dylan
can all
needs
share
to mention
it.
What he's racing.
You are bad luck, Stephanie.
Why?
Just, I feel
everything's
like we're
been
doomed for
lately.
Rain now. We're doomed. Your previous,
why?
Just because you wanted
she's
it.
Not, she's not racing it. She's just going to
no,
be
no,
there.
But
rain
she called
in the
for
sand
it at Lake Murray last
different.
Year.
Oh, my God. And I will
and
never
since
forget
then,
that.
Ever since then. But this is Grasslands,
it's
man.
Every race. But Grasslands, it will feel different. Rain, sand. I'm telling you, it was so rainy out there, and the trail was not like Lake Murray. Like, that's. I think that's why I handled the mud so well, is because I was like, this is not Lake Murray. Okay, so my shoe almost got suctioned off right there. Take two steps and you don't have to worry about it. You know what I mean? Like
the benefit of Grasslands, I was telling John beforehand, is that they're different loops. And so from a mental standpoint, when you're doing a loop, it's not like you have to immediately do it again and you're not looking forward to it. You get to go to another loop. Who knows? It could be just as shitty, but you don't know going into it.
Loops are worse.
So,
because
no,
there
but
are
these
more
are
people
different
going
loops.
On it.
Well, no, but the way
are, but you're going to have everyone's going to be doing
these
the
are
loops.
Four different loops,
I,
though.
I don't
and
think.
So,
I think Grasslands is special in that way, is like since the loops are varied, like you don't get as much traffic as you normally would.
the marathoners and everyone below don't use two of the loops.
Yeah, I think so. Like, when,
who knows? Like, but also, yeah, there's still a chance it won't rain.
So that's the thing too.
Who knows?
Just finish before the rain hits hard.
Okay, yeah. What? I mean, it's
protected. Yeah, man, just go out real hard.
It's supposed to rain before, during, like, and maybe after.
Get all your miles,
like,
in before. And that's what I kept thinking. I was like, first place male is so far ahead of me. He's not dealing with this shit. He probably never even saw this mud I saw.
I'm not going to say who it is.
You didn't cross those creeks because it wasn't roaring when you went by.
I'm not going to say who it is, but someone out there, good friend of the show. What's up? Constant troll is wanting to do it in 14 hours, the 100 miler. So,
wow.
I'm not going to say who it is. I'm not going to put that bad juju out. Don't mention names on here.
Who's capable?
I'm not going to.
Who do you
down.
Think
Matt
is?
Tell me. Matt,
who do you think is capable?
You're talking about.
I can tell you after
your powers of deduction.
But
I don't know who's running it.
Let me tell you, he or she has proven that they can run in mud. So if it gets run fast in mud, so
then just I know.
Think of Lake Murray.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a can't let go. Camille Heron is breaking world records. I think she has broken 7, but she's going. The last time I checked, she had 1 day and 1 hour to do 80 kilometers to break the 6 day record.
Yeah, overall. Right.
Oh, wow.
Overall. Like,
men and women.
Can I just say, year of the women?
Didn't we establish it's women 2.0?
Wasn't
last year?
2.0.
Yeah. We can call it whatever you want.
Or, as I found out, a year on, what was it, Mars? Or no, not Mars. Some planet like like Venus. Or not. Those are closer, my bad. Like Jupiter.
It's going to be.
A year is like 3 Earth years or something.
Okay, so Jupiter year.
So, yeah. This is the year of the women. Jupiter edition.
Edition.
So, yeah. Before I started my race, you know, since I was up so early, I saw that she broke the 300-mile world record. I think that's the one I shared. So I shared it on DDR and then I went to the race, you know, and I ran all day. And then when Kevin met up with me, he was like, "Hey, did you hear?" And she had hit more world records while I was out there running. And so we got to discuss like all the, and he was telling me about all these badass women that he's raced with and seen win overall stuff. So
to put it into context, by the time she's finished, she would have lapped me at across the years. Like done over twice as much as I did, so
wow,
it's insane.
Dylan, what are you doing at Grasslands?
Half marathon.
Are you ready to share?
No, I think for me it's mainly just going to be more of a chill day, but not if it rains. So we'll see what happens.
Who are you running with?
Whoever's on the trail with me.
Am I making something up?
No, you're not, but I'm not putting them. Okay. I'm not putting them out there. I don't want
to. Okay, so I don't know if I said this on. This is embarrassing. I don't even know if I said this on the podcast before we started recording. But Matt and I had a conversation yesterday, and I don't remember it. Did I say this on the podcast or before?
You mentioned this before
we started
the podcast.
Recording.
Yes.
Okay, so Matt and I had a conversation, and I don't remember. When I talked to him, whether it was at the hotel or at the race, like I genuinely don't remember it, but he knew some stories. So I had to have talked to him yesterday. So then I was like, oh my God, have I talked to Dylan or did I make that up too? I'm questioning my own sanity.
I mean, you do have
so
a past.
Basically, anything in this story could be false. And I'm going to blame it on the prank phone.
You just blew your whole credibility.
You just got off an airplane
because,
straight into
you know,
this episode. So
Yeah. I landed at 5:15.
And you have more energy than us. Like, I'm just fading fast over here. Like, was that your can't let it go, Dylan? Or you had something else?
No, that's all I got this week.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap this up then.
Who knows?
Mo knows. Hey, is Mo coming to Grasslands?
I'm texting him. Make him text him. You can do it.
Yeah.
Also, you know, this is a woman that can do anything. She is going to crew and pace Ohm at Moab 240 now. So
I have a 100 miler
that weekend. And I just, you were on this podcast with him 2 weeks ago, and you said you wanted to after the episode.
Find somebody.
How dare you?
I said
you?
I would find somebody. I'm going to find somebody.
Okay, but I swear to
put that on my to-do list, so wow. I remembered.
Wow, and you come at me for making race plans and I don't show up. Like, you DNS'd instantly your pacing.
You haven't done that in a while.
I'm probably going to do it at Grasslands if it starts raining. Anyways, everyone, let me pace you. No, I got.
Maybe I can.
You, I got some pacers.
No, I can't commit to like pace anybody.
God,
I can't commit to pacing.
This is not a good look for you. That's two.
This morning I woke up and I was like, where are we going to go run? And I was like, bitch, you just ran a 100-miler. We are not running. So that's where my head needs to like line up with my, I need to get everything in line. My mind, my body, and soul.
Yeah.
So I need to come sleep.
Luckily, you had all week to sleep.
As you said earlier this episode, rub it out for relief.
You just say it.
That's what you said earlier. We can. It was hilarious, and no one said anything. That's what she said. All right, we're ending this episode. Until next week.
Happy endings.
Happy endings.